96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Starbucks coffee is anti-black.
A whole lot of racism, a whole lot of crap.
More protests today at a Philadelphia Starbucks just days after two black men were arrested while sitting in the store and waiting for a business associate. It is the latest in a long, troubling list of very public incidents involving black men and police. It's just one of the many issues likely to be addressed this week during the National Black Men's Convention in D.C. Joining me to discuss it is Malik Zulu Shabazz, attorney and coordinator of the National Black Men's Convention. Also joining me, Imam Akbar, co-organizer of the National Black Men's Convention. Lots to discuss tonight. If you want to get in on this conversation, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Also, you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Attorney Shabazz, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
And it's my honor to be on.
Okay. And also
to be on with the Washington, D.C. community in such troubling times.
Well, thank you so much. And also, Imam, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Brother Harold.
So let me ask you first, Mr. Shabazz, is this Philadelphia situation a I told you so moment when it comes to black men and police?
Well, when you say I told you so, who do you mean I told you so to who?
Black men talking to America about the situation regarding their difficult relationship with the police.
I think it illustrates and it paints the picture once again, tragically, how the black man in America, he's subject to be killed by the police, subject to be brutalized, falsely arrested by the police at almost any moment just because of the color of his skin. And he can't even sit down in a restaurant, most likely in his own neighborhood, in a gentrifying neighborhood. And he's likely to be treated in such callous and harsh and racist fashion as it was at the Starbucks in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So these are rough times. Mm-hmm. But it's also, as we move into this National Black Men's Convention this week, showing that they shut down that Starbucks and that they moved on Starbucks, it also was a time of hope for our people, letting us know that the struggle must continue and there is victory in our struggle.
Imam, as it relates to this convention coming up, I can only imagine that this issue and some of the other issues that we've seen over the past, not couple of years, just couple of months, will be part of a major social and political discussion.
Well, as a precursor, there's irony in this idea of Starbucks and the fact that we shut down Brazuto Construction and Starbucks here in Washington, D.C. for corruption and mismanagement. And this idea trends from Emmett Till until this hour. Is there a clear distinction between what has happened to Emmett Till, what went on with Trayvon Martin, and what we see today in the situation with Stephon Clark in Sacramento? So we're going to look at, examine how are they managing with the black man at this hour.
And with that point, obviously these things keep happening. It happened last week. It happened last month. It happened last year. What might come out of this convention as it relates to addressing this issue?
Well, one of the intentions with Attorney Shabazz and others leading, and I'm co-convener of the march, we saw as a system we could develop, and I as an engineer would approach it from a scientific perspective, as would Marion Barry and Frederick Douglass, that we could rebuild a black man, reconstruct, and the concept of us rejuvenating the black man and saving our sons and saving our daughters.
Talk to me about that, Mr. Shabazz, about reconstructing the black man. From your perspective, what does that mean?
That means that at our convention, at Shiloh Baptist Church starting on Wednesday night, Thursday, every day, Friday through Sunday. That means that when we convene as black men and the black family, the black women will be with us. They're all coming to the black men's convention at Shiloh Baptist Church. Once we get together, once we get a common education like we'll get at this convention, a legal education, our best attorneys, some of them Donald Temple, who fights for HU Resist and others. We're doing police training. We're doing manhood development. We're doing financial training, a big financial night, the second night, Thursday night. Dr. Boyce Watkins will be with us. So when you bring our best educators, our best attorneys, our best trainers, Dr. Cornell West will be with us as our keynote Friday. When we as black men come together and learn from each other and train with each other and build with each other, then there is hope. And we don't have to just feel like we're being victimized all the time. We may not have all the answers at this convention or have all the answers on this radio show, but I do know that the black woman who is listening on this phone line and our babies, when they hear that hundreds of black men and thousands of them are getting together at Shiloh Baptist Church this week, and they'll be down at the White House standing up for them at the 10,000 Black Men's March this Saturday, then we know, brother, that at least with God and with our family that we're doing our job.
202-319. Hold on for a minute, Mr. Shabazz. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the National Black Men's Convention coming to Washington, D.C. this week, and all of the issues that are part of that discussion, whether it be political, social, emotional, even as it relates to health issues, certainly. All of those things will be addressed this week at the National Black Men's Convention. Very quickly, before I go to my next point, Imam, where can people find information about this convention?
You can go on to our website at theblackmensmovement.org to find all of the information concerning the 10,000 Black Men's Convention, the 10,000 Black Men's March, and also there's a Black Power Summit involved in that.
Mm-hmm. And that's also April 18th through the 22nd at the historic Shiloh Baptist Church, 1500 9th Street Southeast in Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir. April 18th through 20th will be convention. On Saturday, April the 21st, there'll be the march, and on Sunday, there'll be the closing on reparations with the Honorable Salas Muhammad. And included in the Shabazz tradition, you'll find Dr. James Smalls and the daughter of Malcolm X, Sister Ilyasha Shabazz, will also speak at the convention and the march as well, sir.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the National Black Men's Convention and the 10,000 Black Men's March coming to Washington, D.C. this week. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call. Mr. Shabazz, you mentioned manhood. Define that for me in its modern context.
Well, and we will be defining it at our open night, Wednesday night at Shiloh Baptist Church. Is Dr. Tony Browder, Professor Griff, and they're coming all the way from South Africa to teach us. What I will say, my brother, is that the challenges of the time define what a man is. If you have a virtual Klan's member and a racist and a white supremacist in the White House, what a man is what a man does in his community, politically and economically and otherwise in that hour. How does the black man respond to such a threat on his family, threat on his babies? How's a man defined? With our economy in need of leadership, with our economy in need of to be able to self-sustain itself in hostile times, when we define manhood at this National Black Men's Convention as us getting together and forging an economic plan for our people. That's what we're doing Thursday night at our convention. So a man is defined by what a man does in this hour. Our women, our family needs strong men to stand up, to build the black family. And that's why we're all coming to this National Black Men's Convention, the whole family.
Iman, if I may ask the Iman, put a finer point on the manhood piece. Is black manhood different from white manhood?
Well, you have to look at those distinctions. Maybe in the current events leading up to Trump and Comey going at it and Sean Hannity being revealed, but also looking at Parkland High School, take a look at Las Vegas and see the distinction in the black man, the makeup, the mental, the intellectual makeup of a man, and then look at how you will not find a young man typically coming out of a Ballou High School or an Armstrong, Woodson, a Dunbar, or any of the typical Roosevelt High Schools, maybe Coolidge, that would think about shooting up the entire school. A black man would not tend to shoot up Vegas or lead into a Columbine-type incident. Many times they say they are looking for the black man or hunting down the black man, but then it seems that this white man will turn on himself when given a certain set of circumstances. But the makeup is different. There's a war between right and wrong, a war between righteous and the wicked, and there's also a war going on somewhere quietly. The melanated and the non-melanated nations seem to be having a showdown at this hour. So the distinction of black manhood, the divine power has promised a victory to the righteous and those among the melanated nations at this hour.
That's interesting because that was a complex, a very complex answer for the black man walking on the street who is wondering what I can do to improve my community. Is there a simple step that he can do when there are so many options?
Well, as you and I discussed earlier, Brother Harold, who took out the concept of home economics in the high school? Who disturbed the idea of vocational trades when there was no such thing in D.C. as a job empowerment, job ready? When a young man left high school and sometimes middle school, they were ready. They were job ready. Some of the brightest and the best had come out of D.C. public schools. We want to restore that and look at the research of Dr. Martin Luther King Library. Most of the nation library in most cities can fit inside of Dr. Martin Luther King Library. You have the Smithsonian. You have the Library of Congress and Pentagon and others. Places guarded space, they can't match us on research. How would a guy coming out of Kansas or West Virginia or Arkansas, if that matter, would match a young black man that's on his A academic game at this hour? So we want to look at that and restore him. As an engineer, again, we can rebuild this black man, a black man that the black woman will again be proud to look at that black man and allow him to represent her in the best way.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the National Black Men's Convention that is coming to Washington, D.C. this week. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call. Let me go to Melvin. Melvin, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Melvin. What's on your mind?
I'm a 48-year-old young black man, born and raised in D.C. I hadn't seen it change from the 70s, how we was together in the 70s. It wasn't as much as, you know, this crime that's going on now, this filtered crime, this filtered hate that's going on today from when, you know, you had police officers that policed our area that was nice to us, that would come and talk to us, you know what I mean? And now it's like it's like ever since this president has come along, it's escalated the problems on top of what we already dealing with as a black person. You know, I find it so ironic that we have been called three different intellects. We've been called a Negro, a black man, and an African American. Which one are we? First and foremost, I'm a human being.
Interesting. Melvin, thank you so much for sharing that with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Shabazz, you want to respond quickly to Melvin before I go to a break?
Yes, I want to say, Melvin, brother, be at the White House with us. Take a stand this Saturday, April 21st, and be right there at Lafayette Park. There are going to be thousands down there of your brothers and sisters who are standing up to stop the killing in our community and stop the racism and police brutality. And your spirit will be revived if you just make this one simple move this Saturday to the 10,000 Black Men's March.
Okay. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation, and we will be taking more of your phone calls. We're going to talk to Pop calling from Maryland. We're also going to talk to the rest of you who are calling in to discuss this critical issue, the National Black Men's Convention coming to Washington, D.C. You can find information online at blackmensmovement.org. Also, as always, we will be posting that information on WHUR.com after the program. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. Back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about the National Black Men's Convention coming to Washington, D.C. this week. My guests are Malik Zulu Shabazz. He is an attorney and the coordinator of the National Black Men's Convention. Also joining me in studio, Imam Akbar, co-organizer of the National Black Men's Convention. If you have a question, if you have a comment about this, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Pop, calling from Maryland. Pop, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I was calling because your guests see a lot of good things. However, what's troubling about them is that it seems that they have brought into the narrative of the black leadership and the Democratic Party in the sense that they are preaching identity politics and victim mentality, which both the Democratic Party and black leaders have projected on our community. And so I want to say that a success in this life, and indeed in America, is not a function of race. It's a function of right knowledge and all the things that adhere to that. And so let me also say that with respect to Starbucks, that incident that took place there is the same incident that took place in White Oak in Maryland. That is policy on most of these stores that you go into. If you're not purchasing anything, you'll be asked to remove. I mean, you'll be asked to leave. If you don't leave, then they'll call up the police. And so what we have here is a situation where one incident takes place and all the news networks take it and exaggerate it to make it seem like it's widespread throughout America, when I know personally that racism is not widespread to that degree. I mean, it's so minute that it takes place at the margins of society. Now, I'm not naive. I know it's something, it's pockets of it going on here and there, but racism that's taking place in America in 2018 is not to the degree that racism that took place when Henry Bach Brown had to to box himself up and get out of.
Pop, thank you so much. I will allow Mr. Shabazz to respond to that.
Oh my dear brother, how far off you are! Racism is still alive and well in America. And even as the polls of white and black America themselves have even admitted that the very commander-in-chief of all of the American armed forces is a bigot and a racist. And we see Stephon Clark shot in the back 8 times because he's a black man. He wouldn't have been shot like that if he were not a black man. Mike Brown wouldn't be in the ground if he weren't a black man like that. Racism is alive and well. Gentrification and the persecution of our people, the disrespect in our community is alive as well. But we're not just playing identity and victimization politics, my brother. On Thursday night at the National Black Men's Convention at Shiloh Baptist Church, we unveil a 5-year Black National Economic Program from Dr. Boyce Watkins and others. On Friday, we have self-help workshops in the training on your legal rights, fatherhood training by 100 black fathers. Dr. Cornel West and the daughter of Malcolm X are coming to bring us together as a family. So we're not playing identity politics, but we cannot avoid that race is still an overshadowing and overwhelming problem in America in this hour.
Iman, I'll also allow you to respond to what Pop was saying.
In the idealism of the Obama administration, there was a transitional transformation. There was an officer friendly at one time, and something transformed, and he became known in the black community as a killer to many black communities. as well, the young man has transformed into one who's a victim of the police bullet. And then there's no retaliation, no system of justice, as the Honorable Coretta Scott King used her last dying breath to stop Jeff Sessions. And that question goes on all of us. What will we do with our social political power at this hour? And we plan to bring a Panther Party to the ring, just like they brought independents and all of the Democrats and Republicans. The Panther has a strong representation as well as a candidate to run.
And let me stop just for a moment, because if Pop is Pop still on the line? Is Pop still on the line? He's still on the line. When he talks about, you know, we don't have the kind of racism that is being reported, and the likes of the Imam and Mr. Shabazz are talking about today. And yet, if we go back to this Starbucks situation, I want to play for you what the attorney said for these two men. She is a white woman, Lauren Wimmer. This is what she said about that incident.
What's the 911 call you're never going to hear? Hi, this is the Starbucks at 18th and Spruce. There are two white women sitting in here. One of them asked to use the bathroom and she didn't order a coffee. Come quick.
Okay, you can't have a white woman, a legal representative, make that observation and still sit there and say that racism is not an issue in this country. That's not a woke Black Lives Matter sister with natural hair putting her fist in the air. That's a white woman saying that if the color of those two men happened to be different, and indeed if the gender was different and the same thing happened, then we would only be talking about frappes and macchiatos today.
Can I respond?
Yeah, go right ahead, Pop.
Okay, so how many Starbucks are in America? Indeed, how many shops like Starbucks are in America?
You talked about policy. You talked about policy, and that's what she was discussing.
I'm talking about one incident that's been exaggerated across multiple news networks, and then we're taking it and saying this is what's going on in every Starbucks and every shop in America, when clearly that is not the case. The brothers won't admit to that. That is not the case. Racism is not widespread to the degree that it was in the 60s. And a lot of Blacks leadership, like these guys that you have on your show, if you remove the race card, they have nothing else to go forward on.
Iman, I'm going to let the Iman respond. Go right
Certainly
ahead.
The body bags from Trayvon to Stephon are not exaggerated. And certainly you have to be looking clearly and honestly with some forthright, or be forthcoming and truthful about it, that people have not been prosecuted. There's been no due process. That certainly Giuliani and Trump were on a team to stop due process when the 40 shots ran out. We have a woman coming out of Atlanta. Her son was shot 76 times. And that's not exaggeration. Right. We want to take a look at Tamarian Robinson and some of those cases to see exactly what is Mr. Pop talking about exactly.
Yeah. And Pop, thank you so much for your input. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And not to put too fine a point on this, Mr. Shabazz, but of all of those things that were just mentioned by the Imam during this conversation, one of the things that happened just last August, and the police body cam footage was released last week, the incident in Asheville, North Carolina, where a Black man who was a cook at a local restaurant, quote unquote, jaywalked on his way home, was put in a chokehold, was beaten by police when all he wanted to do was get home. And it was later discussed that there was no jaywalking law in Asheville. Certainly issues of race, Mr. Shabazz, are different year to year, decade to decade.
All my cases.
But still, this is something that needs to be addressed.
Yes, sir. All my all of my cases in Black Lawyers for Justice, whether it's jail killings in Oklahoma, police shootings in Tennessee or any other state, it all has a basis of race in it. And if you find that the white attorney woman is speaking out stronger than you as a black man, then we have to question it. So what we're saying here is that we have a remedy. We're saying to all of the brothers, let's come out. This is a great conversation. Let's continue this at the National Black Men's Convention this week. The whole family will be there. And the black man does have answers. He's not playing the victim role. He has solutions. He has an economic plan. He has an education plan. He has a reparations plan that's taking place at Shiloh Baptist Church all week. The website, the real website, is blackmensconvention.org. Blackmensconvention.org. And we're going to have intelligent conversation. We don't all have to agree. But I think that it's time now that we unite and plot a way forward for our people.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Charles. Charles calling from, we lost Charles. Let's go to John. John calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, John. What's on your mind?
Well, I'd like to say good evening to your distinguished guest panelist there, Malik, as well as Brother Akbar. This is John Cheeks calling.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Cheeks.
How are you, John? Good to join. Thanks for giving us a call. What's on your mind?
I would like to introduce what these two honorable men have been doing in the community as great and honorable works for our injured population of black Americans here in the Washington, D.C. area, as well as the entire country. The summit is needed for all of us to come together in a serious manner. Racism does exist to your other callers' ignorance. It exists alive and well here in Washington, D.C., where my committee house is located. I'm having a silent and vocal battle with my neighbors because of the fact of me being
John, you broke up. You said you're having a battle as a result of you being
a black man.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and racism does exist. It's alive and it's well, and it's very, I should say, dangerous and contagious. And we have to stand up as black American men and separate ourselves and ask for the injury benefits that are due for us and our families. Like Malik has been preaching and also has been directing to people, as well as Brother Akbar.
Okay.
I am full on board with what they're doing.
Well, thank
and
you.
I'd like to let you guys know that I am around, even though you don't see me sometimes. Malik, I'm trying to complete this masterpiece that we've been discussing, okay?
Well, thank you. John, thank you so much for sharing with us. One of the things, Mr. Shabazz, that you mentioned earlier, and I think this is really important, you talked also about the role of black women not only in this event, but also in the broader issues. Will there also be discussions about the relationship between black men and black women? Are they going to address issues such as domestic violence? Obviously, you know, in this area, you know, Prince George's County, deadly domestic violence remains very, very high. And I think, you know, that is an issue that should be considered.
And the interpersonal relationships and issues such as domestic violence and other issues with our children is on the table every night here at Shiloh Baptist Church. At 6 o'clock, every night we're gathering. On the opening night, when we're defining in black manhood, and there's going to be a serious discussion about how manhood is not to be living in your woman's mouth or our women's mouth like we are a dentist, harming black women. On the second night, the financial night, we deal with the issues of economy inside of the black community and how those economic issues can lead to fractions and fissures in the relationship. on Friday night with Dr. Cornel West and other black women who are speaking, Ilyasha Shabazz, Malcolm's daughter, and other preachers who are coming. We're dealing with the criminal justice system, mass incarceration, and other critical issues all day from 12 noon to 10 at night. And all of it is intertwined on how it affects the family. You can't discuss the black man on these days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the White House, Sunday at Shiloh. You can't do any of that in isolation. The black man is nothing without the black woman, and we are nothing without looking at the whole picture, our babies. We got men here who need to have repaired relationships with their children and their sons. That's what the convention is about.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that and some of the other events related to the important issues for black men coming up this week. If you have another question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Did you know?
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about the National Black Men's Convention coming to Washington, D.C. this week. One of the other things that is happening is the 10,000 men's march. Mr. Shabazz, why march?
Well, because march means movement, and march means we're headed in a certain direction. And it's part of our tradition. 23 years now, we come after the Million Man March, where over 2 million black men took a stand, and they were asked by Minister Louis Farrakhan to continue to stand and to organize. 23 years later, we helped build that march, and that's why we returned to Lafayette Park this Saturday to the White House, because there's a voice of ours that needs to be heard around the world. There's a voice that needs to be heard around the nation. It's not being heard right now. My dear brother, we see Sister Maxine Waters standing up with all she's got. But where are the black men of this country on foreign policy? Where are the black men on this of this country about the bombings in Syria? Where is the black men about what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia down there to the demonstrators? Where is the black men who stand up and do what Dr. King and the others did? They will be at the 10,000 Black Men's March. Cornel West, Dr. Boyce Watkins.
But let me stop you here, because this is my question. I do understand the tradition of the march, but you're going to be at Lafayette Park in front of the White House. We know who the president is. He's well documented about the comments that he has made about black people, about brown people. So who is the audience for that march if we can say that the president is not listening?
If we could say that the president is what?
If he's not listening to black folks, black men, then who is the audience for the march?
Oh, then we should show up strong and have him to listen. That will be the point of having it at the White House, because he will listen. And there will be voices. There's a professional stage there. We're not down there with just some bullhorns. We got a big stage and a sound system, and it's all professional. And when he hears the voice of Dr. Cornel West, when he hears the voice of Attorney Malik Shabazz, when he hears the voice of the Honorable Silas Muhammad, when he hears the voice of the strongest black men and black leaders anywhere in America, Team Familiar also is going to be playing that go-go down there. Team Familiar, trust me, we're going to rock his toupee.
Okay, but I do want to go back to, I appreciate that, but there is no proof that the president is listening to the concerns of African Americans unless you talk about the issue of, well, what do you have to lose when you talk about jobs? That's really the only issue that he has brought up since he's been in office and even beforehand.
Well, I have a counter offer then, because I would proffer that we're not just there to say, Mr. Trump, listen to us. Mr. Trump may be a certain kind of, is likely a unreformable human being. And if he does not listen, which I don't think so, but if he does not, then our audience is the world, and our audience is the nation, and our audience is the thousands who will be there and who will be inspired by us being there. And guess what? Our mission is our mission. We still have plenty of business to take care of, whether Donald Trump changes or not. So just like Donald Trump, he uses the venue and platform that to his advantage in the political world. I'm a political scientist from Howard University. Shout out to HU Resist. We choose the political places that will get our message out. And so 10,000 black men march, sisters and brothers together, broadcasting to the nation this weekend. It will not just be about protesting Trump. It will be about Kujichagulia, about self-determination, stopping the killing, self-respect in our community, stopping the police brutality, and stopping the racism of Donald Trump.
Let me go back to the phone lines real quick. Charles calling from D.C. Go right ahead, Charles.
Good evening, and thank you all for your comments and action.
Yes, sir.
The question has been on my mind for months, and that is, who are these police officers that are killing these unarmed children? And one thing that came to my mind was that a lot of them are returning veterans from some of those conflicts like Iraq and Syria and just the different places they've been to. And their only training is to shoot to kill. You know, I mean, they come back killers and mad and mentally ill, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome and all of that. And nobody seems to be addressing that. That's the problem that I have with it being a counselor, you know.
That's it. Iman, talk about that, because there's another point that Charles kind of touched on that I do want to bring up before we close out. Your thoughts about what he's saying.
That's an excellent question. And the answer comes up when I answered it in Charlotte when they murdered Kevin Scott there, that who are these executioners or who are the police or holies that murder our children? And the answer is the judge, the jury, and the executioner. And as you see those examples in many instances, that there has not been a prosecutor to be successful when even the head of the Justice Department went out, when Eric Holder went to Michael Brown's investigation, and he ended up quitting directly behind something that happened in that incident on the Obama administration. So most men are not capable intellectually or even have the legal mindset set to go and rule with justice, manage with justice, investigate with justice, and get the results called justice. Like Dr. King said, it must rain down like waters, and the righteous can rise up like a mighty stream.
Charles, thank you so much. One of the things that Charles did say that I think we should talk about, we've talked about the policy, we've talked about the social issues, we've touched on reparations and marching, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the healing that needs to take place relative to black men and recognizing the impact of just being a black man in America and some of the emotional struggles that they have to deal with from sun up to sundown. Mr. Shabazz, your thoughts?
Yes, my dear brother. Sometimes just to be in a room full of brothers and black men, it can bring tears to our eyes. And there is direct healing in just us being amongst each other and being with each other, like we're going to be all week inside of the righteous temple of Shiloh Baptist Church. So, you know, this convention, sir, is all about healing, repairing ourselves and repairing the damage. And just us communing with each other, all of our best scholars, down to the brother who's just struggling. That's what we're calling the brothers out for. That's why we're convening this convention, sir. It's time to heal, because it's a lot of emotional pain. And that's why the National Black Men Convention is taking place, so we can try to heal with each other. This is a call of love. This is a love call to black men.
Imam, talk to me about the work related to the healing, because this may be a pill, a therapy session.
That's right.
But it's not one and done.
I think black America is appealing for a healing. And in our research, we have found that Donald, what I call him, Donald the Duck Trump, who ducked the foreign policy issue, ducked the black American issue, failed in the condolences and the apology to the black sister and all of the other things from Puerto Rico to Texas and Florida. He mismanaged, but on that strength that he is a social political reincarnation of a president much left out of the history. The assistant to Abraham Lincoln was Andrew Johnson, and I believe partially why Dr. King was assassinated, because he undid the riddle and exposed it when he said it was 47 years, a signing of an Emancipation Proclamation. But yet 100 years later, the black man, woman, and child still is not free, because he was known as Servito, and he had vetoed nearly the entire Emancipation Proclamation.
But the thing that I'm talking about the healing that we as black men need to do when we look in the mirror at ourselves.
And
that's what I'm talking about. And how this convention may address the work that we need to do on ourselves.
Honorable Queen Mother Afua teaches, and she gives us all the formula with Dr. Francis Cresswell, saying the ability to heal thyself and the knowledge to know thyself. And that's what will be taught at the convention. And the messages will come at the 10,000 Black Men's March at Lafayette Park, right in the lawn of the White House. They will show you methodologies in which we can approach the healing of thyself and the knowledge of self. Because the best creatures on earth are those with the knowledge of self, mm-hmm. and some of the worst of those who does not understand themselves.
Mr. Shabazz, I have 30 seconds. I'll let you have the last word.
All right. Thank you so much. This convention, the National Black Men's Convention, it's all about us taking responsibility for ourselves. Nobody is going to solve this problem but us, talking to all of the brothers. Please be at Shiloh Baptist Church, 1500 9th Street Northwest, this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, every day. Dr. Cornel West, Professor Griff, Dr. Boyce Watkins, Dr. Tony Browder, all of the greats will be teaching. The Honorable Silas Muhammad, they're coming from 50 states, all to Shiloh Baptist Church.
That's right.
They'll be at the White House Saturday. We gather at 12 noon for our major 10,000 Black Men March rally. Our destiny is in our hands. We have challenges, but together we can unite as a men and as a family, and we can make it. BlackMen'sConvention.org, BlackMen'sConvention.org, or you can call me, Attorney Malik Shabazz, at Black Lawyers for Justice, fighting on your behalf. I'm at 301-513-5. 401-513-5445. God bless everyone.
Well, thank you.
Thank you both,
Malik Zulu Shabazz and Imam Akbar. Thank you so much
for
coming in.
Harold,
I appreciate it. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Monday, April 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.